Proverbs chapter number 9. Y'all pray for me that the Lord will give me strength, courage this morning. Proverbs chapter 9, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table." You see all the preparation there? Does everybody see all that? I want you to pay attention to that, because here in a few moments we're going to talk about another woman in this passage, and you're not going to see any preparation. Zero. Wisdom prepares. The Bible says in verse 3, "She hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city." And here's what she says. We won't read her entire message right now. We'll come back and deal with it in a minute. "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him." Now I want you to do me a favor and let's move on down to verse 16. We're going to read one more verse here, and then we're going to pray. Now this is not wisdom, okay? This is the foolish woman crying out. But I want you to, if you can do so, put your finger on verse 4, and then put your put another finger on verse 16. On 4 and 16. Does everybody see this? Okay, we're going to read verse 16 now. "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither, and as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him." So you have two voices crying out for the same audience in Proverbs chapter 9. Let's pray, okay? Father, we love you. Lord, you know I need you. I am weak in the flesh. My heart is hurting this morning. A lot of burdens and trials. But Lord, I love you, and you know that I love you, and you know that I love these people, and I pray that you'd help me to the best of my ability to give out your word. Help me not to hold anything back that you would like to be said, but Lord, help me not to go beyond what you would have to be said. Lord, I pray that you've got me right where you want me this morning. I cannot do this. I don't have the strength to do it spiritually or physically. But Lord, you are my God, and I praise your holy name for all that you've done in my life. And I pray that you'd use me this morning to minister to the saints under the sound of my voice. I'm relying on the scripture this morning that says, "When I am weak, then am I made strong." And Lord, my strength is made perfect, or your strength is made perfect in my weakness. Lord, I need you. I pray that you guide me, give me clarity of mind. All the troubles that are in my head right at this moment, I pray you'd help them to vanish while I preach, that I might minister with a clear mind. And we'll be sure to give you the glory for it's in Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Look with me, if you will, back to Proverbs chapter 7. And I want to make a few comments before we get into the text in Proverbs 9. You know this, I'm sure, from your Bible studies, that the vast majority of time, the book of Proverbs, you will read one verse, and then the next verse you read is a completely different thought. Proverbs are short statements. They're statements that oftentimes bear symbolism. There's one thing compared to another, or one thing contrasted with another. Proverbs chapter 7 through chapter 9 is not quite that way. As a matter of fact, if you look at Proverbs chapter 7 and look at verse number 6, the Bible, look at verse 5, I should say, "that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her word." So we learn about a woman in Proverbs chapter 7. She's a strange woman. Probably need to help you understand what that means in our day and time. Strange, you know, I'd think, okay, well, you know, she dyed her hair purple or something, you know, weird like that. But that's not what it's saying. Strange is, like, let me use myself as an example. Any other woman other than my wife is a strange woman to me. Okay? Now, you take into account my daughters. I understand what I'm saying. But if it's not my wife, she's a strange woman to me. Now, that's not meant to be offensive, okay? That's saying, you're not my wife, so you're stranger to me. I'm not supposed to be associated with you in the manner in which I'd be associated with my wife. So when the Bible talks about a strange woman, This is somebody that's not married to this man we're getting ready to read about. Verse 6, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones. Remember that word simple from Proverbs chapter 9? That's the audience, okay? And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through. And let me say this right here. This probably will be a little offensive to some of you young folks, but I don't mean for it to be. It's just the truth. When you're young, you lack understanding. Now, that may offend you, but let's put it this way. God could have done things differently than the way he did it. Is that not true? I mean, we serve a pretty powerful God. You know what God could have done? God could have brought you into this world as an adult. You say, no, that'd be weird. Well, it's only weird because he didn't do it. If that's the way he'd have done it, we thought that's normal. But you know why God brought you into the world as a child? Because you need instruction. You need somebody that knows more than you know to sit there and say, that's a bad idea. Don't do that. That's a good idea. Go ahead and do that. You need somebody that has understanding that went through the same things you're going through. I know you don't believe that. You think, well, you know, my parents just don't understand. No, you don't understand. That's the problem. You don't understand, and because you were born into the world of genius, you know, and you got all the answers, you think, well, I'm just going to tell mom and dad, you know, and you need to wake up and understand that God put you in a place for a reason. You need to start listening. Speak less, listen more. Okay? That's a good rule for childhood right there. Now, this is a young man. He's passing through him, and he's just going along. You can see verse number 8, passing through the street near her corner. Who? The strange woman. The Bible says, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and beheld, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. So the Spirit of God apparently pays attention to clothes that we wear. Verse number 11, she is loud and stubborn. That's a little bit different than meek and quiet. Okay. You say, well, I like her, you know, because she's loud. Well, you won't one day. All right? Her feet abide not in her house. Well, maybe when you get older and you lose your hearing, then you'll appreciate her again. But there's that midlife part. You're not going to appreciate that too much. Verse 12, now she without now in the streets and lieth in wait at every corner. So she called him, she kissed him, and she says to him, I've got peace offerings with me. I came forth to meet you. She says, come back home with me. If you look at verse number 19, for the goodman is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. And she deceives him into coming away with her. Now you say, well, that sounds like the typical love story of today, does it not? Isn't that sad? That's what we call love right there. That's not love. You say, well, I don't know. Look at verse number 23. Till a dart strike through his liver. Now, I have no idea how that feels, but I know how it sounds. And that sounds extremely painful. And so here's a woman crying out for this young man's attention. I'm building, okay? We're heading somewhere. Here's this woman crying out. If you will, help me out. Maybe let's do this morning. If you'd picture kind of a street going down the middle, maybe like this middle aisle, middle row of pews here. This is a street going down the middle. And I'm not going to say who's who, okay? But on one side of the street, you've got one voice crying out. And on the other side of the street, you've got another voice crying out. And what's happening is the simple folks, a simple young man in this passage, he's just passing right along the street. And he's going to hear multiple voices. And much of your life is going to be about voices competing for your attention. If you don't believe that, let's hit rewind and go back to the Garden of Eden. And you got there, the Lord had his voice, and he speaks, and he tells Adam, here's the way that it's supposed to be, and here's the law. And you got the serpent that shows up with another voice. And you got competing voices all day long trying to get you to do what they want you to do. People say, well, I don't, you know, nobody's my master. You're a fool. You are submitted to somebody right this minute. Now, we like to, you know, and I don't know if it's an American thing or whether it's just a humanity thing. But we like to believe that we're calling our own shots. I'm doing my own thing. Some young people think, you know, when I become an adult, finally, I'm going to get to call my own shots. You'll never call your own shots. Somebody's always trying to get your ear and get you to follow whatever they want. On one side of the street in this particular passage, it's a strange woman. And the young man, the Bible says she took him. Now look at chapter number 8. Or no. Let's go back. Verse number 25, I should say, in that chapter 7. It says, "Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded." People have been there before. It's not a new thing. Generations have gone this way. And they've been cast down wounded. The Bible says, many strong men. See, I think that's kind of funny. I like how the Lord, it's almost like the Lord thinks ahead to what you're going to think when you read the Bible. And it's almost like he's answered every one of your excuses. You ever feel that way? You know what the Lord could have done right there in verse number 26? Many men. He could have just said, you see where it says many strong men? He could have left out that word strong. But you know, the Lord knew what you'd think. You'd say, well, not me. I'm strong. And so the Lord said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and take care of that before you even read it. I'm going to go ahead and write that in there so that I can take away your excuses. You think, well, I'm too good. I'm too faithful to church. I read too much Bible. I pray too much. I'm too faithful to the outreach. I'm too faithful to this. The devil would never, ever, ever lead me astray. The Bible says, take heed. You say, well, I've been in church a long time. You better take heed. You say, well, I do this and I do that. You better take heed. You're starting to trust in your own strength and in your own understanding. And when you start doing that, you get comfortable and you start getting a little cozy with the wrong voices. We see here in verse number 27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Now, that's not a good thing. Now, look at verse number 1 of chapter 8. Doth not wisdom cry? I like that. And understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of the high places by the way, in the places of the paths. She sitteth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Look at verse number 5. O ye simple. See, fighting for the same audience. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools. Be ye of an understanding heart. Now, I would encourage you today to read chapter 8. The Bible says wisdom's better than rubies. So let's kind of picture this, if you will, in chapter 7 and chapter 8, because we're going to have the same kind of scenario in chapter 9. Remember, again, we got kind of a pathway down the middle here, and we're all walking this pathway, every one of us. Okay, it's not just young. All of us, we're walking this pathway, the pathway of life, if you will. In chapter 7, you've got a voice on one side of a strange woman. Now, I think this is kind of a neat little thing. The woman in chapter 7 is not on the highest places. Okay? And I almost wonder if the Lord wasn't doing something a little different in chapter 7 to show us, you know, our three main enemies in this world, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we find there, this woman's right where the people are. She's on the corner. She's right there down with the people. It almost makes you think this is a kind of a picture of the world and the flesh and their attacks on the ears of man. And here she is, and she's trying to get folks away. And wisdom's up there saying, hey, come unto me. I've got riches, and what I offer you is far better than rubies. Come over here. And this woman said, no, don't listen to that. You come over here. And that is going to be every day, every moment of the rest of your life, right there. Right this minute. I mean, as I speak, I don't claim like a charismatic prophetic gift, but I just know human nature. At this moment, you have competing voices. While I'm preaching, you're getting competing voices. Some of you are getting one voice that's saying, well, you know, he just doesn't know what he's talking about, or he just doesn't know how strong you are, or what do you think about later today? What are we going to do later today? What about tomorrow? And just trying to get you, you know, somewhere else. And then there's another voice, wisdom, that's saying, hey, listen to the scripture. Listen to the scripture. It's not about the preacher. It's not about his message. It's about what thus saith the Lord. He's trying to point you back to the Lord. He's trying to admonish you to pay attention to me. That's wisdom crying out to you. And you got that competition. It is easy when there's only one voice. But when you introduce a second voice, it starts getting real complicated. See, wisdom inside of you is trying to get you to do the right thing. Wisdom's trying to get you to do what the Lord wants you to do. Wisdom's trying to get you to do the Lord's will and follow the Lord's word. And wisdom's trying to get you to have a higher level of character. And to, if you're a child, to be obedient to your mom and dad, to be submissive. If you're a husband, to love your wife and as Christ loved the church. If you're a wife, to submit yourself unto your husband. And here the wisdom's crying out and trying to put you back on the right path towards Scripture. But then there's that other voice. Now in chapter 7, it was a strange woman. I say maybe that's a picture of the world and the flesh because it's different when we come to chapter 9. Now we're not going to go in order in chapter 9. I'm going to do it a little bit different. But I want you to look with me, if you will, to chapter 9, verse 1. We will start at the beginning. And I want to kind of give you some foundational details, if you will. Verse number 1, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. I don't know why, but I love that Bible verse. I can't even figure it all out, but I just love it. The Lord has used that verse in my life over the past few weeks. I mean, that is like one of the top verses. You're looking at it, you're thinking, you know, maybe I need to look at the Hebrew and see what that says. But I love that verse. Wisdom has a house. Now, if you'll look on further down in the chapter, down to verse number 13, the Bible introduces this other woman. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple, knoweth nothing, for she sitteth at the door of her house. You see that? So in chapter 9, we have two women. Wisdom is personified as a woman. We have two women. One is wisdom, and the other is called simply, verse number 13, a foolish woman. So you got two women. In chapter 9, you have two houses. We talked about how wisdom had built her house. And then we see there in verse number 13 and 14, apparently this foolish woman also has a house. Now, we don't know how she got the house. We just know it's hers. Okay? Wisdom, we know the details. Wisdom hath builded her house. She labored for it. We don't know how this woman got it. As a matter of fact, I'm almost suspicious that this foolish woman stole the house. Now, you say, well, that's a weird thought. Hold on just a second. Look down, if you will, to verse number 17. This is the foolish woman's message. She says, stolen waters are sweet. You see, and I know the context, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But this foolish woman doesn't mind stealing, doesn't mind things that are stolen. As a matter of fact, the foolish woman thinks sin is far more entertaining than righteousness. It's far more enjoyable. And for those of us sitting here, we might think, well, that's just wicked. It is, but don't forget that the Bible talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. For a season, there's enjoyment. But once that season passes, it is filled with misery and guilt and sorrow and frustration. There are folks in this room, you've sinned against the Lord in an area in your life, and I'm not going to get specific at this moment, but you've done something, and for that specific moment in time, you thought you were having a good time, but when that time passed, you felt a miserable wreck in your life. And there was a guilt there. It almost feels like you're dirty. Almost feels like you couldn't wash enough with soap to get yourself clean. Your mind, your heart, whatever it may be. But that sin passes. For a moment you think, isn't this fun? Isn't this enjoyable? But boy, when that season passes, you are going to be miserable because you disobeyed the Lord. Now we see here in chapter 9, two women. We see in chapter 9, two houses. One's built, the other we don't know for sure, but there's two women and two houses. Now I want you to go with me to verse number 13. Let's deal first with this foolish woman and try to get some understanding here. Verse number 13. The Bible says a foolish woman is clamorous. Remember that loud and stubborn in the previous chapter, chapter number 7? You remember that? This woman's clamorous. The idea there is she's loud. She's making a loud call. And listen, you need to understand this. The loudest voices are not always the best voices. What is tugging at your heart the most is not always what's righteous. You just need to get that. I mean, I wish I could I wish I could just have like one-on-one meetings with this chapter right here and just tell you everything that I think. You probably wouldn't appreciate it, and I probably wouldn't enjoy myself doing it, but I wish we could do that. Here's this woman, and she's clamorous. She's loud. She's making a loud call. I'm guessing she can probably be heard over the voice of wisdom. Now, wisdom's crying. But it would not surprise me if a young man passing through, or a young lady, an older man, an older lady, passing through the paths of life, and hears two voices, the voice of this foolish woman probably is louder than the voice of wisdom. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that the Lord often speaks in a still, small voice. It's almost as though you have to be listening for the Lord, isn't it? It's almost as though, and you know this to be the case, our God is not a Calvinistic God. Remember the Lord Jesus talking to the church, and I understand in the context he's talking to the church, he says, I stand at the door and knock. He said, you all open up, I'm coming in, but I'm not kicking down any doors. See, the Lord has attempted to get our attention, many of us in this room, he's attempted to get our attention throughout life, and there have been times we've turned a deaf ear to him because there was a louder voice. There was something else that was appealing to us more. One of the saddest moments that I had, I remember knocking on a door in the Inskip community and trying to talk to a young man about his soul. And you all have heard these things before. I mean, it's nothing new, but it just broke my heart. I still remember it to this day. That's probably been, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago. But I knocked on the door, and he came out, and he was friendly, which was, you know, is a rare thing these days, talking to folks about the Lord. But he just said, you know what, I understand about church, and I understand about the Lord, and one of these days I plan on, when I settle down, you know, I'm going to get in church, and I'm going to start serving the Lord, and I'm going to do it then. And the idea was, right now in my life, there's something else more important. At this moment in time, there is a louder voice that has my attention. And I don't know what it is. Maybe for him it was partying. Maybe for you it's a career. Maybe for you it's education. Maybe for you it's something else. But there's a louder voice crying out, and you're leaning toward that louder voice. And the Lord says, look, I'm not going to make you follow me. I'm going to appeal to you. But you're going to have to start listening to me, and you're going to have to start showing some interest. I'm not going to force you. And here we see the Bible says this foolish woman's clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. She doesn't have any answers. She doesn't have any answers. This world is filled with people who see problems and complain about problems and understand problems and know the problems exist, but they have no answers. And the answers that they do have are causing more problems. This foolish woman is crying out. Listen, she is a voice, and she is apparently an authoritative voice because she's being heard, but she's crying out, but she doesn't have a single answer. The Bible says in verse 14, she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. Now remember, that woman in Proverbs 7 was down on the street. She was right there on the corner where man was. This woman's up in the highest places. So she's in an elevated point, okay, to where if you're passing by and you hear this voice, you're looking around, where, you know, where's that voice coming from? Oh, it's coming from right up there. And here's that voice coming out. She's at her door. She's sitting there, and she's crying out in the highest places. She's in a good visibility place. You probably noticed this. You know what the world does with their billboards. If you're the way East Tennessee works, you got hills almost everywhere, and you're driving up, and they put those billboards right in the line of sight. You notice that stuff? I mean, a lot of times you're driving, and you're thinking, oh, my goodness. You know, and they're telling us, don't text and drive. Well, don't put those up and make me drive. I mean, get a clue here. But it's in a place of visibility. I think this woman, this foolish woman, was in a good place of visibility to where she could be seen. Verse 15. To call passengers who go right on their ways. Here it is. You're just going on your way. Don't miss the simple things in the Bible. I was just going on my way. I was just going, you know, through life, and here's what happened. You think those things are coincidences? I mean, you think this woman just sat up there just cause? She knows this is a prime spot to deceive. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. We get in each other's ears, even in a church service, and we get to affecting each other, and we don't realize that the devil has set up prime real estate inside the house of God. We don't even realize things we say and do to each other. And listen, I'm the same way. Sometimes I'll say something, and then later I'll get to thinking about it, and I'll think, well, I don't know that that was the right way to say that. And listen, I do work on my words, and I pray and ask God for help, and I try to make sure I say things in the right way. But at some point, I'm still a man, just like you're still a person. And if we're not careful, we forget that the devil sets up shop anywhere he can get our attention. We see here, this woman sitting up in the highest places, she's crying out to people that are just going on their ways. Here, they're just going about life. They didn't wake up that morning thinking, you know what, I'm going to have competing voices. I'm just going about life. And they're going to find out. I'm going to have two voices crying out for my attention. Verse 16. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, stolen waters are sweet. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. There's two words there that start with an S that I would hope stand out to you. Stolen and secret. Now alarms should be going off. Stolen doesn't belong to me. Belongs to somebody else. And secret. Don't want anybody to know about it. See, some of you right at this moment in time, you're thinking about things that the devil has convinced you of in your lifetime. Maybe if you're young, in your short lifetime, you're thinking about, you know what, I remember that. Lord, turn my heart towards this young lady that wasn't mine. Lord, turn my heart toward these sins that I was going to have to do in secret. Mom and Dad couldn't know about them. You with me? Don't miss the simple truths of your Bible. Now, I want to ask you a question, okay? I want you to think about this with me. What is in the house of the foolish woman? Don't look down at verse number 18 yet. What, up to this point, what have we read is in her house that she's got to offer? Nothing. As a matter of fact, you don't even know if she's got, you say stolen waters are sweet, but you don't even know if she's got water in there. She mentions bread, you don't even know if she's got bread in there. You haven't read any preparations. There's nothing that she's done. All she's doing, she's got a fancy-looking facade on the house, and she's sitting out there on a chair. That may be all she owns is a chair outside of a facade of a house, but people are hearing her voice. Hey, come in here. Look, I've got a ton of stuff to offer. I mean, if you could just see what's behind this door, you would just want to come here. But I mean, I've got stuff for you. Come my way. Come my way. And you know what? The multitudes are going that way. And one by one, don't miss this. One by one, I want you to see this. What do they find when they open the front door? What do they find when they open the front door? It's too late. I've been deceived. Verse 18, but he knoweth not. That's talking about the one passing by. But he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. That is the story of the world that gets told over and over and over and over again. You know why? Because it works. Because it works. The grass is greener on the other side. Go over here and do this. This will be much more enjoyable. Go this way instead of going that way. Don't listen to your mom and dad. Don't listen to the Bible. Don't listen to the preacher. Go this way. Go this way. And you got the world, the flesh, and the devil tugging at your heart saying, go this way. And I'll tell you this, and I hate to admit it, but there are times in my life that I've listened to that voice, and I've always found out when I got through the door, oh no. Oh no. And that feeling of guilt, that feeling of shame, you're embarrassed because I'm saved. How could I be so foolish, right? How could I be so foolish? I know this Bible verse. I know this Bible verse. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I mean, I've tried to memorize scripture. I've tried to learn God's word. But here I went. And I went the path of this woman crying out to me. And I went her way. And the moment I opened that door, I think, oh, no. Now, there's another voice. There's another voice crying out. Let's look back to verse number 1, and I'm going to hasten through this, and maybe if the Lord leads, I'll finish the thoughts tonight, because I got more thoughts to tie off of this chapter. But chapter 9, verse 1, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. Man, I just like it. I like it. I don't know if you do this. I guess where I worked with, you know, metal building, drafting, and all that kind of stuff, I try to picture what it looked like. And I'm kind of a, you know, like mirror image type stuff. So, I'm trying to think, where would I put the pillars? And some of y'all think that's weird, but I wouldn't. I'm thinking, okay, are the pillars out front like a porch coming off the house, you know, and you got 7 pillars out there up front holding that thing on, or are the pillars around there? But regardless, this is a solid, sure foundation. I mean, this is tried. I mean, this took labor. How much labor did the foolish woman put into hers? We don't know. We don't know. But here wisdom has hewn out these pillars, and I would imagine that took some time. I would imagine, I would say it's a beautiful thing to look at as well, but I'm guessing this foolish woman's house was quite appealing as well. But she's hewn out her 7 pillars. Verse number 2, she hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. Now listen, here's the difference. Chapter 9, we read about the foolish woman. We read about no preparations whatsoever. When you walk through the door, all you see is death and hell all around. But when you go through the doors of this wisdom's house, you see food on the table. You see drink there. There has been labor to prepare for the simple when they enter in. Wisdom has something to offer. We see in verse 3, she hath sent forth her maidens. That thought, we're going to come back. If we speak on this tonight, we're going to deal with that phrase. She hath sent forth her maidens. Wisdom had ambassadors. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Remember that other voice at the highest places, or at the high places. Wisdom's on the other side crying out, trying to get your attention. Don't listen to the foolish woman. Come over here. Come over here. I've got more to offer you. Now look at verse number 4. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, verse 5, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I've mingled. Now look down to verse number 17, okay? Hold your finger. Let's do like we did earlier. Hold one finger on verse 5 and one finger on verse 17. Verse 5 says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. I prepared this. This is my stuff that I'm preparing to give to you. Verse 17, stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. You see the difference? One saying, look, what I've got to give you is appealing. And there's going to be some excitement. What I have to give you, there's going to be some enjoyment that come along. The other says, you know what? This is what I have to offer you. You take it or leave it. But I've prepared some bread for you. I've prepared some wine for you. I have some supplies for you. If you'll come over here, I'm going to give you of what I have. And the foolish woman says, hey, this stuff over here is going to be more fun. This stuff over here is going to be sweet, and it's going to be pleasant, and it's going to be enjoyable. Just come over here. You're going to enjoy the pleasure if you come over here. Now look with me, if you will, to verse number 6. The Bible says, forsake the foolish. Who do you think wisdom's talking about? I mean, think right across the street. What did the Bible call that woman? A foolish woman. And now wisdom says you need to forsake that and live. Now what was in the other place? Death. Verse 18, but he knoweth not that the dead are there. There's death across the street. But if you'll forsake the foolish, you'll come over here, you'll live. There's going to be peace and contentment and joy over here. And go in the way of understanding. And then wisdom begins to talk about the different reactions that people give when they're reproved. Now, I want you to see this, and we're going to do it quickly. He says, he that reproveth the scorner get to himself shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man get to himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. You know what the Bible's saying here? The response that you give, whichever voice you listen to, tells a lot about who you are. It tells about what's going on deep down inside. If you're listening over here, he says, you're not a wise, or wisdom says, you're not a wise man. If you go over here, look, wisdom's out there giving a rebuke. Hey, you're doing the wrong thing. Don't go that way. Forsake the foolish. Come over here and live. And he said, well, that's kind of harsh, you know. Over here, they're just saying fun things. Over here, you're kind of being a little bit mean, and you're saying, don't do this and don't do this. And wisdom says, look, if you go over there, all it does is it tells on your heart. I want to say this to you. Young people especially, listen to me very closely. I'm saying this because I love you. If you listen to voices leading you away from righteousness and away from your mom and your dad and what's right and holy, you are a fool. And I'm not trying to be mean. If you look, I know we got folks that have been here different lengths of time. If you've been here any length of time at all, I hope anyway. I hope you know I love you. I mean, I love everybody in this room. You folks are my family. When you hurt, I hurt. When you're grieved, I'm grieved. Y'all don't understand. Sometimes it's hard for me just to get up here and preach because I know things going on in your lives, and I'm discouraged because of things going on in your lives, and it's hard for me to even get up here and preach. I wish I could just detach myself from all of that and just say, Lord, help me to not even think it, not even feel it, but I don't even know if that's scriptural. So I say things to you because I love you. If there's a voice out there leading you away from church and leading you away from God and leading you away from the Bible and leading you away from mom and dad, and you take it, you're suggesting, I'm not righteous, I'm a scorner, I'm a fool, I'm a wicked man, because I'm allowing the wrong voices to get my heart. Wisdom says if you rebuke a wise man, he's going to love you. That's a rare thing, isn't it? Now look here in verse number 9. It says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. He'll get more wisdom. Teach a just man and he will increase learning. He'll take it. He'll increase his learning. Now look at verse 10 and I'll finish up. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me, talking about wisdom, by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. These two voices that are competing for your attention have different plans for you. They may look the same on the outside. I don't know if the foolish woman's house had pillars, but I'm guessing that it was probably not an unattractive place. I would say it looked nice on the outside. It had to be appealing for folks to go there. But behind that foolish woman's door, she's got death. That's all she wants for you. Physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, in every way. That foolish woman, she's loud and proud, but she wants you to die. She wants to deprive you of joy. She wants to deprive you of peace. She wants to deprive you of a good family. She wants to deprive you of blessings from the Lord. So she's trying to get you in to kill you. And here's that other voice. Wisdom. And I don't know what wisdom gets out of this. What's wisdom get out of this? The foolish woman, I think she gets enjoyment out of watching people die. But what does wisdom get out of this? Wisdom says, if you'll come over here, you'll live. And wisdom says this, I will lengthen your life. I'll keep you out of some trouble. Hadn't wisdom done that for some of us at times? When we say, you know what, I've had some wisdom. Wisdom kept me out of trouble in some of these things. We look at the world today and we look at all the problems and we look at the violence in Chicago and we say, well, the problem's guns. No, the problem's wisdom. I'm not going to do it. Some of you would be scared out of your wits, but I could bring a gun up here this morning, just set it right here, and I could preach the message. That gun wouldn't do anything to anybody. It just sat there. A gun, as far as I know, has never killed anybody. It's people who don't have wisdom, who find joy in death. It's a foolish woman calling out and saying, come over here, come over here. This will be fun. This will be enjoyment. Hey, you're going to get a real thrill out of this. I mean, it's going to be exciting. I remember one time I had three buddies there out in Union County. I mean, these guys were crazy. I know you can't imagine that, Brother White and some of you other Union Countyers here. But they did. They told me, now, young people, if you do this, I'm going to ask your parents to come down really rough on you. Okay? But I remember, I don't even know if my parents knew this, but good thing mom's not here right now. But we stayed in a tent. Now, you got to understand, I've always been Mr. Conservative. I was lost and was still Mr. Conservative. I didn't like trouble. Don't like jumping off things, out of things, into things. Just scary things scare me. I'm still that way today. I don't guess I'm ever going to get over it. All right? But they said, hey, we got some fishing line here. And they said, we've heard that if you tie a fishing line to a tree on one side of the road, and then you take that fishing line across the street, and you tie it off to another tree, you get that thing real tight. We've heard that when people drive through and they hit it, it'll snap and it sounds like a car accident. They said, that'll be fun. You want to do it? I said, somebody's got to watch the tent. I'll just stay here with your guys' stuff. Now you say, well, that was righteous. No, it had nothing to do with righteousness. It had everything to do with fear. And sure enough, they went out and they did it. And I heard that loud. I mean, I heard it all the way. I mean, we were off the road behind a house, and I heard that snap. And I got thinking, man, what if that had been somebody riding a motorcycle? But you know what their message was? It's going to be fun. This is going to be enjoyable. And that enjoyment could have turned into murder. Now, that's just one example, but I'm telling you, folks, every one of us sitting in this room, we all have the same problem. We're all walking our paths. And every one of us are constantly bombarded by voices. One voice is saying, what I've got to offer over here is going to be better. The grass is greener over here. This is going to be more fun. This is going to be better. This is going to be sweet. This is going to be pleasant. And then the other voice over here saying, look, I'm not going to try to compete with that voice, but I'm going to tell you right now, I've got life for you. But you're going to have to forsake that. You're going to have to forsake that other voice. But if you'll enter my doors, you're going to find a furnished table and you're going to find life. If you enter her doors, there's nothing on the table. And all that's there is death and hell. And right at this moment in time, as we get ready for the invitation, those voices are in your ears. He's overboard. He's just trying to get you to do what he says. You see what I'm saying? I mean, there's voices. He's trying to manipulate you. He's trying to corrupt you. He's trying to take away your right to choose what you do. And then there's this other voice over here, wisdom, saying, it's not about him. It's about Proverbs 7. And Proverbs 8 and Proverbs 9. It's about the truth. It's about what's behind the door. It's about what we've got to offer. And the foolish woman is going to kill you before it's all said and done. Why don't we forsake the foolish this morning and live? Let's stand.